The Shiur is going to be on Parshas Vayikra, which is this week's coming Parsha. And I just want to be makdim, a little bit of a hakdama. Obviously, all of us know that we're in very trying times. And to a large extent, probably none of us in our lifetime has ever experienced this kind of crisis. And so there's no question that all of us are obligated to do a lot of introspection, a lot of cheshbon ha-nefesh, to take stock of what is happening and to take stock of our lives. And it seems to me that all of us who are ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim, could everyone hear me? Do people hear what I'm saying?
Yes, Rosh Yeshiva.
Yes, it's Gavali.
Okay, so we are ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim. We have profound emuna, and there's no question that that emuna, dafka, emerges even more so, which is where we're at right now. So there's one midah, which is a very significant midah in general, and one that may very well be a central midah in our hashkafa from our Torah perspective, and that's the midah of anava, the midah of humility. And there's no question that often a crisis situation should bring about, should generate an unbelievable sense of anava, a sense of who am I, what is my role in the world at large, what is my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially in times of travail. And in times of travail, once you come to the maskana, Hashem Adoneinu Mo'adir Shimcha B'chol Aretz, the greatness of Hashem is Barach. And when one comes to that recognition, as the Rambam writes very clearly in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, the Rambam tells us, how does one come to Avas Hashem? When one contemplates the world and sees the majesty of Hashem Yisbarach's creation and sees the beauty of it, and one is absolutely under a spell in many, many respects. When one sees the uniformity, the harmonious interplay of so many different elements in the world, and Hashem, who is Osa Shalom B'Momov, who Yasa Shalom Aleinu. So one comes automatically to a sense of unbelievable Abba. One is thunderstruck by the creation, by the Bria of Hashem Yisbarach, and that leads to Abba. But at that moment, says the Rambam, a person recoils. A person suddenly realizes, yes, no doubt, look at this world with its fantastic, the fantastic creation that's in front of me. But who am I? I am simply a cipher. I am but a census. I'm but a speck of dust in this colossal global kind of environment that surrounds me, that engulfs me. And automatically one is seized with a sense of Yira Shamayim, with a sense of Yira, a sense of fear. So this is a kind of dialectical interplay of Abba V'Yira that's constantly at work. But the overall tone of the Rambam is the tone of Anova, that once you realize how humble I am in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach. And we, ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, know that the Yad Hashem here has turned the world upside down, and there's no question, one of the midos that is designed to engender is the midah of Anava. So now, connecting this to the parsha, Vayikra el Moshe. So before I mention the famous Balaturim, the small aleph that's found here in the parsha, I want to comment on a Rashbam. The Rashbam considers the first pasuk. The Torah says, "Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'ol Moed Lemor." That, in effect, Hashem calls to Moshe, and Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu from the Ohel Moed. The Rashbam says, "What's the transition between this pasuk and the end of Parshas Pekudei, the end of Sefer Shmos?" There, the Torah ends Sefer Shmos by telling us, Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to go to the Ohel Moed kishochan olav ha'anan because the cloud rested on it. Uchvod Hashem malei et ha-mishkan, and the glory of Hashem filled the entire Mishkan. So the Rashbam asks, what's the juxtaposition between these two pashyos? There, at the end of the Pekudei, the Torah speaks of Moshe's inability to come to the Ohel Moed because it was malei kvod Hashem, full of the luster of Hashem Yisbarach. And here in the beginning of Vayikra, Hashem invites Rabbeinu, Vayikra Moshe, Vayikra Hashem Elov, Me'ol Moi Leimor. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who erected the Mishkan, as the Pasuk says at the end of Shmos, Vayokev Moshe Es HaMishkan, he was the one who essentially was behind the construction of the Mishkan. He's not able to enter it because the Shekhinah is present. But Hashem is totally filling the Mishkan. And therefore, Hashem invites Moshe Rabbeinu to come inside. So the Daskenu Bali HaTosis, right here in the beginning of Vayikra, adds that Moshe Rabbeinu was frightened to enter the Mishkan. He had to be invited. And also Rashbam is telling us that the first pasuk of Vayikra is a sequel, essentially a hemshech, of the psukim that are found at the end of Pekudei. Moshe Rabbeinu completed the job. He supervised the creation of a makom for Hashras HaShchina on earth, but Moshe Rabbeinu somehow felt he was not qualified to enter without Hashem Yisbarach explicitly welcoming him to Ol Moed. And that, of course, underscores and accentuates Moshe Rabbeinu's unbelievable anava. He thought he was not adequate to be a part of the glory of the Mishkan, and Hashem recognized that quality of anava, Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore invited him. And therefore the Baal Turim comments, if you look at the first pasuk of Vayikra Moshe, we have the small aleph, the diminutive aleph, and he explains the Baal Turim, the mention to his special relationship that he had with Hashem Yisbarach. So in an attempt to play it down, how does he write that word? He writes the word that it should be read Vayikar, without the aleph, as if Hashem just happened to speak to him, Derech Agav. And Rashi right away on the spot comments that, in effect, it's similar to Bilam. Bilam Arasha, the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, Vayikar Elokim El Bilam. Vayikar is Lashon Mikre, Lashon Arai, Lashon Tuma, as Rashi points out. And those, by chance, Hashem appeared to Bilam. He certainly was not of the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that Bilokom Navi Obi Yisrael Kemoshe Asher Yido Hashem Panim Alonim. Bilam, Rashi quotes from Chazal, the reason he was given the Nebuah, otherwise the Umos Seolam would come with tainus against Hashem Yisbarach. There's a very fascinating expression that's not found anywhere in Chazal as far as I know, but it's an expression which we probably all are familiar with. Usually when something happens that we're not happy about, we have tainus. And there's an expression, Shari Ta'anot Lo Min Aluf, the gates of Ta'anot are never closed. Ta'anot is spelled Tet Ayin Nun Vav Tov. Ta'anot means that we have issues. We're not happy. We are sort of frustrated. We have a lot of tightness. And sometimes we not only have tightness against another individual, that's something which is natural, but sometimes, Rachmanu Litzlan, we even have tightness against Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Baal Turim says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Vayikra without the Aleph, Ke'ilu Hashem just happened to speak to him the way he happened to speak to Bilam HaRasha. And this, of course, again, was not given approval by Hashem Yisbarach. He did not approve of Moshe Rabbeinu's spelling of the word. Moshe wrote it without an Aleph. Ke'ilu it's Vayikra, similar to Bilam. Hashem told him, please put the Aleph in. Vayikra is spelled Vav Yud Kuf Resh Aleph, but Moshe Rabbeinu made it very small because the sense of Anava did not allow him to call attention to himself. So as I began, the Torah is teaching us about the humility, the Anava of Moshe Rabbeinu. And we're going to discuss this issue of Anava. And as I said, Anava is a proper response to a crisis, to a mashber. When there's a massive crisis that engulfs the entire globus, as we are now in this pandemic, coronavirus, they like to give it a scientific term, COVID-19, almost as if to sort of paper it over. But at the end of the day, this is a massive crisis of epic proportions, of a gargantuan nature, way beyond our capacity to understand, to deal with. Even the medical establishment is stymied to a large extent, and trying their best to plumb the depths of this virus and trying to get to the bottom of it. So all this should engender enormous degree of anava, of humility, on the part of a human being, on the part of Klal Yisrael, on the part of each individual Jew. certainly the part
you have to give kavod to the 19 brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. Kavod. Kavod 19. Give kavod to Shemoneh Esrei.
Okay. Very good, Rav Feinberg Shlita. Maybe I'll discuss that too in a few moments, since you just brought up an idea in my head. I just wanted to connect this to a yesod that I heard from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal on any number of occasions. The pasuk says, if you look at the chumash, if you have a chumash, but I'll read it carefully. Vayikra el Moshe, vayidaber Hashem eva me'ol vayelimor. Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, daber b'nei yesod v'yamartu aleim odom ki akriv mikem korban Hashem. A person, when you bring an offering to Hashem, ki akriv mikem. And then the Torah delineates where the korban comes from. Min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, min ha-tzon, takrivus korbanchem. We have a host of different types of animals that are going to be used for the purpose of the korban. So there's a medrash. The medrash rabbi comments on this pasuk, the following medrash. Rabbi Yeshua Diskin in B'Shem Rav Levi Omar, Afak Subin, Cholku Kavod Yisrael. The medrash underscores the fact that even the Subim in the Torah are showing kavod, as mentioned a moment ago, to Klal Yisrael. How? Because it says in the pasuk, Adam ki yakriv mikem. A person gives a korban mikem, from you. But the medrash right away contrasts that with other psukim, namely, in the Torah, in the context of Tazria Mitzvah, speaks about different types of negoyim, different types of Rahman al-Litzlan plagues. So what does it say over there? It says, Adam ki yeh ba'or b'saro, say so sapachas o baharas. It says that if a person has on his skin different types of magefos, seis, sapachas, or baheres, so the medrash is contrasting the lashon that's found over there in Tazria Mitzvah, Adam kiyeh ba'or b'saro, a person has on his skin, to the language that's found here, Adam kiyakim mikem korban Hashem. What exactly is the medrash trying to teach us? So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal suggested the medrash conveys a deeper meaning. When the Torah refers to the mitzvah of bringing a korban, it uses the term mikem. Mikem meaning from your very essence. But in the context of a skin affliction, that in Tazria Mitzvah, Tzaras, the Torah does not use the term mikem. Why? Because the religious devotion of a Jew emanates from a strong inner heartfelt desire that reflects his fundamental nature. A Jew, b'mahuso, a Jew in his very essence, is kadosh. Elokai, we say every morning, neshama shenasati bi tahorahi, ato berasa, ato yitzarta, ato nefachta bi. Hashem created us with a neshama. Nature is kedusha. So any chet that I do, any transgression that I perform, is a function of all types of external whims. Where the Gemara says, "Ein adam chayte elam kein nichnis aboy ruach shtus." Why does the person commit a chet? Because some ruach shtus got a hold of him. We are, at the end of the day, we're basar adam, and we're impacted and affected by all types of elements that surround us. And therefore, a chet that I do is only skin deep. Adam kiev or besaro se'ei so sapachas abaheres. The Gemara says in Erechin, the Gemara points out that all these negayim come from different types of chatoyim, lashon hara, v'chulu v'chulu. So that avera that I do is not inherent. It's not something which is deeply submerged in my inner persona. However, the korban that I bring, that's something that emanates from the innermost recesses of my personality. That emanates from kedusha. That emanates from a sense of sanctity that every Jew has, from the neshama tahora. That deep down is what we're all about. And Rav Soloveitchik, when he said shiurim on the last parak of Gittin, parak HaMegarish, he referred to a Rambam. The Rambam in parak Beis Hilchos Gershin, Halacha Chof, the Rambam speaks about the din of there are occasions when Bezin can actually compel a person to give a get, when the get, of course, is warranted, namely give a divorce to one's wife, but only when it's warranted, and then Bezin can compel the person to do so. And the Rambam raises the question, how could that be? We know Bechira Chafshe is free will, is one of the most fundamental yisoides in Kol HaTorah Kula. Ram devoted several prakim in Hilchos Tshuva to this concept of Bechira Choshes. So how can Bezin compel me to give a get? So the Rambam, I'll read part of his Lashon. The Rambam says, if someone is compelled to give a get to his wife and refuses to do so, Bezin shall yisrael b'chol mokom v'b'chol zman makan osa. They have the right to apply heat. I'm using the term, obviously, figuratively. They can go ahead and pressure the individual. Atshiyoma rotzani, till he says, okay, I'm giving the get. V'yichtov aget, v'hu get kosher. It's a kosher aget. So the Rambam was bothered by, how could they do that? What happened to my bechira? What happened to my free will? The most important yisod. And it's, as I said, the prerequisite for Hilchos Tshuva. So the Rambam says, she'eino mimonus el l'misha nilchatz v'nitchak lasos davar she'eino mechuyev v'natorah lasoso. When do we have a concept of ones, something that's done under coercion, only if I'm forced to do something the Torah does not obligate me to do. However, misha tekofo yitzro hara, the batal mitzvah, a person whose yetzahara, whose evil inclination compels him to repudiate a mitzvah, olasa savera, or the yetzahara gets a hold of you, and now you're doing an avera, vahuka, and now Bezdin applies pressure, acha also dov shechayav lasoso, till he does that which he's supposed to do, or acha nisrachim dov shechayav lasoso, till he keeps his distance from something that he shouldn't do. Einza onus mimeno. That's not considered to be acting under coercion. Elohu onas atzma b'daito hara. He has engaged in self-coercion. He has coerced himself with an outlook that's incorrect. Lefikach, therefore the Rambam says, the person does not want to give a get, but me'achashu rotze lios mi'Yisrael. He wants to be a Jew. All of us want to be good Jews. All of us want to be connected to Hashem Yisbarach. Rotzehu lasos kol ha-mitzvos. He wants to do all the mitzvos. U'lisrachim min averos. V'yitzrahu shetkafo. What got a hold of him? His yetzahara. V'kedin shehuka. Now that he's been subjected to pressure. Ache toshash yitzro. V'yama rotzani. So now once he receives lashes till his yetzahara is weakened, and now he says, okay, I'm willing. Says the Rambam, that's called giving a get. Mirtzono, that's called giving a get willingly. He was not compelled to give this get. And that's essentially, as many interpret this Rambam, all of us have this, obviously, a neshama, tahora, kedosha, that Hashem created. And the yetzahara is that which compels me to do an avera or fail to do a mitzvah. So basically, in that situation, my own free will was not really expressed. My free will has been somehow covered up. Soloveitchik, in that context, I've said this many times, that he pointed out once there was actually a drain service in New York City called Roda Ruda. The person has a drain problem in his kitchen or in the pipes. So then what do? You call Roda Ruda, and they come with these high pressurized hoses, and they're able to subject whatever grime and grease is caught in the pipes to this incredible pressure. And now the grime and grease, of course, will dissipate. And they have a jingle. And the jingle goes like this. Rota Ruta, that's the way our Soloveitchik sang it. Away go trouble down the drain, Rota Ruta. So once Rota Ruta comes in, then you see after they've done their job with their hoses and what have you, everything is sparkly. That's Pshat Rambam. That's what Rambam means. That you bring in Rota Ruta, and then guess what? The neshama, the nitzotz elokiti, the ched elokam yimal, that's what emerges. And that's really what we're trying to do. So the Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal said, this is pshat in that medrash that I just cited a few moments earlier. When a Jew offers a karbon, fulfills mitzvahs, and lives a life of kedusha, that's called mikem. Adam ki yakriv mikem karbon Hashem. It comes from me, from my essence, from the depth of my personality. There was many years ago a program where they have three people all looking alike, same physiognomy, and they tried to figure out who's that person. Will the real person stand up? So the real person is one who is submerged under the Yetzahara, under the grime and grease, and Roda Ruda has to come in and do a cleansing job, and now the real me comes to the fore. And that's why the Torah says, Adam ki yakrid mikem karbon Hashem, namely, what motivates the karbon, my inner persona, my inner drive, my real soul, my real self, the real me that comes to the fore. However, when a person has a shom does an aveira, then the Torah says later on in Tazvir Mitzera, Adam kiyed v'or b'soro se'eso sapachas of aheres, which means the transgression is only surface. It's only skin deep. And that's the distinction between these two ideas. Rav Soloveitchik went further, and he pointed out there's a medrash in Acharemos where the Torah speaks about the Soil Hashem and the Soil Azazel. And we know that the Soil Azazel is going to be thrown off a cliff. But the Soil Azazel is that which is Mechaper al Kol Aver Shematera. The way the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, the way the Gemara says in Yuma, and the Pasuk says in Chumash, V'nosa HaSoil Alav Eskal Avernesa Gezerah. This goat is going to carry all of the iniquities of Kol Yisrael to some uninhabited kind of land. There is Gezerah. So the Medrash says, V'nosa HaSoil Ze'esav. The word Soil is spelled Sin Ayin Yud Resh. That refers to Esav. Shenemar Hen Esav Achi Esav. Esav, the Torah describes as a hairy individual, Esav. And what does it mean as called Avonosam? This soil will carry all the Avonos. The word Avonosam is a composite of two words. Avonos Tam. Namely, the Avonos of Tam. Tam is Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Ish Tam, Yosheva Holim. So the soil, Esav, is going to carry all the Avonos of Yaakov. So how do we understand the Avonos of an Ish Tam? Where is the Tzmimus? Tam means someone who is Gavra Shlim, the way the Targum Onkelos translates it. Someone who's a Shalim. Where's the Tzmimus? How can these two opposing terms be paired in this description? And furthermore, on Yom Kippur, we say, Kivayom Azeh Yechapir Aleichem Metayr Esem Mikol Chatosecha B'nei Hashem Titaru. And that day, Hashem is going to provide us with Kapara and Tahara, Metayr Esem. And the word Lechapir, Rashi actually comments on this word in early in Vayishlach, rather, I'm sorry, in Bereshis, where the Torah says, Ki Omar Achap Rafonov. Yaakov's about to meet Esav. Ki Omar Achap Rafonov. Bamincha Olechis Rafonov. Ulay Esav Fonov. Vayah Vatav Ramincha Alponov. So the word means to appease. And the Rashi comments, in Ere Be'enai, says Rashi, Shekol Kapar She'esav Omar V'chei Ve'esav Fonov Kul Lashin Kiyuach Vavara. Means atonement that has to do with Avera, transgression, means to wipe away, to remove. So now, apparently what the Medrash is trying to say is the following, that at my essence, I always want to do mitzvahs. Despite the Avera, I always remain tam. That tmimus is deeply rooted and embedded in my inner persona. So any Avera that I do doesn't come from my inner personality, but it's external. Any Avera that I do is, shall we say, the product of environmental influences, the product of the cultural ambiences of the non-Jewish world around me. Since the Avera is not internal, is not inherent, so it's like a particle of dirt that lodges in my garment, and I simply have to remove it. I simply have to wipe it away. And whenever you would call malabim, in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, you're not be Avera, you would not be Avera malabim. You would not be whitening the garment because you're simply taking a speck of dust off you. And that's the ability that we have to do tshuva, which is the foundation of Karbonos that's found at the beginning of Vayikra. Deep down, we want to carry out the Ratzon of Hashem. That's our real interest. And therefore, deep down, that deep sense of Anava, which every Jew has, is that which is expressed in the Aleph by Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Soloveitchik noted many times that the Gemara has at the end of the third parak of Maseches Nida. This is a well-known Gemara we're all familiar with. When a child is born, so we teach him Kol HaTorah Kula, and then when he comes, La'avir HaOlam, when he emerges, a malach comes, and the Gemara says, Sotro Alpi, U'mishachlo Kol HaTorah Kula. He then forgets the entire Torah. So the question is that, so what's the point? Why would a person be taught Kol HaTorah Kula, and then now, a moment later, it's all gone? And of course, the answer is, the way the Balei Tanya writes, and the way others point out, that on the contrary, because Hashem taught us Kol HaTorah Kula, so now it's much easier to salvage and to once again bring back the Torah that is deeply embedded, rooted in my personality, my very persona. But of course, Hashem wants us to acquire Torah, not in a simple, unencumbered, facile kind of fashion. But God, He wants us to work. He wants us to toil. As the Gemara says in Megillah, that a person who says, Lo yagati matzasi al tamin. Don't believe a person who says, I didn't have to work, I didn't toil, I didn't invest any effort, and somehow I acquired Torah. That's not possible. And the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says that to remember that which I learned, that already requires not just amola, luk negirsa siyata d'shmaya. That requires enormous amount of heavenly assistance. But the point of the, before the malach, is that we want to teach a child the chatchila kala Torah kula, because every Jew, says the Baal Tanya, has a deep, hidden love for Hashem Yisbarach. Ava misuteres. And that's exactly the same idea as the Rambam. And that's also how Soloveitchik said, explains another Rambam. Shuba tells us that what's going to be lost in love of Ticha Torah Shesoyfim Shal Yisrael Lassos Shuba. At the end of days, go ahead and do tshuva. So what is it? What will happen if all Klal Yisrael decide to move in the other direction? How is it possible that Avtocha is going to take place? And the answer is because deep down, every single Jew is created with an neshama elokis, with a godly soul that's buried deeply within my conscience, within my shoroshim. And even when I do something which is inappropriate, when I act awry, that's not me. That's my alter ego. That's another personality. It's not the real me. It's somebody else. And therefore, there's no question that lost in love, it's only natural that every one of us will come back to our shoroshim, will come back to our roots that are deeply rooted. And this yisod, I believe, is found exactly in this parsha. The yisod of Anova that we see with Moshe Rabbeinu, as I mentioned at the very beginning of the shir, there's no doubt that a great mashber, a great crisis, can engender a tremendous degree of anova when a human being realizes that I am essentially stymied. Even scientists are stymied. Even medical people are stymied. Clearly, this is something which is beyond me.
Nothing? Oh, okay.
I'm sorry for the pause. A pause in the action. Okay. I hope you still hear me.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, great. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Mem Beis, Ka'ayol taro galafike mayin nafshi taro gelech elokim. Just like a deer longs for brooks of water, so too my neshama, my nefesh, longs for Hashem Yisbarach. A deer is instinctively drawn towards water without really comprehending where he's going. The Rambam writes in Chumash a number of times that animals operate purely on instinct. So too, our instinct of every Jew is to be close to Hashem Yisbarach. We don't always necessarily understand what we're searching for. Even secular Jews, who somehow are not connected to Kedusha per se, but in the depths of their hearts, they recognize that deficiency, and especially during a time of crisis, such as the one we're in now, that can lead a person into tremendous anlova and coming back to Hashem Yisbarach. Because that love of Hashem Yisbarach is concealed within the heart of every Jew and draws the person to a life of Torah mitzvahs. So now coming back to the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu, to the anlova that Moshe Rabbeinu expressed in the first pasuk. The next question, which is a very significant question, we see that, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is the pasuk says in the end of Ba'aleitzva, Ve'ish Moshe Amar Ma'od Mikol Ha'odem Asher Al Pnei Adama. And there's no question, Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes it in Ruach Chaim, and it's mentioned by Chazal many, many times in many different places, that Al-Yidei Ha'anava Zeicha Ha'odem Ba'kol. When a person is modest and humble, a person can reach tremendous heights. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNeviim, the Av HaChachomim, Shabbeinu, the Torah praises him, Dafka, for this Midah, for the Midah of Anava. And Dafka, because of that Midah, Moshe Rabbeinu was Zochet to what he was Zochet to, unquestionably. And he became the Manning of Klal Yisrael because of the Anava. The levels of Nebuah that he reached was directly a result of Anava. And there are many, many statements in Chazal that actually indicate this. I collected a number of statements from different Midrashim that the Midrashim described this Anava as being something which was unparalleled. And Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, "Vatechasreyu miyat me'elokim, v'chobod v'hodot tiatreyu." The Moshe Rabbeinu is a little bit below Hashem Yisbarach, and was given tremendous covered v'hodot. Says the Medrash, "Zeh Moshe," and the Medrash brings a raya from our Pasuk, "Vayikra el Moshe." So Moshe Rabbeinu did not feel he was worthy of being the manager of Klal Yisrael, the leader, and Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to take, well, want to benefit from that leadership. He was exceptionally careful. And in this week's parasha, we have also another reference to this Yisod of Anova. Pasuk says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki kol seor v'chol dvash lo saktiru mimenu ishel Hashem. And the Klal Yisrael already explains at great length that why can I not bring to the Mizbeach? Seor is, of course, a leavening agent. But the Gemara says in Brachas, the Gemara points out that what causes a person to sin? Sor shebe isa ma'akev. So sor is that which causes the dough to rise, to ferment. So anything which is a nature that rises, that's not something that one should connect to. And the Klal Yisrael explains that sor is a semel for the Yetzer Hara. And that's the Gemara in Brachos Dav Yud Zayin that I just mentioned. With soneinu lasos mitzoncha. We want to carry out the Ratzon Hashem. What prevents us? Sor shebe isa ma'akev. There's that element of gaiva. There's that element of chametz. Chametz means the fermentation process, the dough rising, and that represents the midas ha'gaiva. Just like chametz is also mitnapeach, chametz, the dough actually begins to rise and begins to extend and begins to literally get larger and larger. So this is something that a person, of course, has to completely and totally disassociate himself with. It's Yadua that the Rambam writes in Pirshas Mishnah said Ovis, where the Mishnah says over there, Miyod Miyod Hevi Shvaruach. The Rambam, Kayadua, held of a concept called the Shvil Azov, the golden mean. Everyone should always try to find a balance in a person's life. You should try to avoid extremes. We should try our best to more or less cultivate proper midos in a balanced kind of way, in a uniform kind of way, in a harmonious kind of way, not a simple thing to do. There are many midos that one should avoid, like the plague, and one of them is the midah of gaiva. That's why the Mishnah says, miyed miyed hevi shvaruach. One has to go far away from gaiva. Gaiva is a midah which is to be abhorred. On the other hand, sometimes there is some value to gaiva, the sense of self-esteem that all of us have to nurture and cultivate, recognizing that each one of us has tremendous keches and the ability to contribute to Klal Yisrael, to the world at large. Rasa Leshi thought this was the stira that Chazal actually allude to in a number of different statements. On the one hand, Chazal say, Kol ha-boreach achar ha-kavod, someone runs after kavod, ha-kavod boreach mimeno. Kavod's going to run away from him. On the other hand, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is melech ha-kavod. Mi yuzeh melech ha-kavod. Hashem Yisrael Zegibra, Hashem Gibra Melchama. And we know there's a Gemara in Sefer Daf Yud Aleph, where a person is supposed to emulate the attributes of Hashem Yisbarach, Mahu Afato, Mahu Mechubad, Afatati Mechubad. So how does one reconcile these two? And we even know the midah of Gaiva Hashem has. Hashem Baloch Geus Lavesh. Hashem clothes himself in raiments of Gaiva. So of course the answer our Soloveitchik said, Svei Dinim. There are two different midos. There's a dialectical tension here. Gaiva, namely arrogance, and being contemptuous of others, and chas v'sholom looking down upon other people, and not recognize the virtues of every individual, that's a terrible midah. They want us to avoid like a plague. That is, of course, a midah that should be completely distanced from, as the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Mi'er, Mi'er, Dami Shvaruach. On the other hand, Hashem Slavesh, that's a sense of self-esteem that all of us should nurture. This is a source of a famous drasha that Soloveitchik said, where he was meyashev this in the contradiction. So now, coming back to the question that I want to raise, why did the Torah decide to teach us this lesson at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra? Here we're about to introduce the enterprise of korbanos, animal offerings. Is that the only place the Torah could have taught us this lesson? The lesson of anava? What about sacrifices makes this parasha so fertile for teaching this midah of humility? So the answer is, I think, fairly evident. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, and this is a famous pasuk that all of us are familiar with. David HaMelech says, "Le nishbar b'nike Elokim lo sibze." And the pasuk is found actually in the context of a discussion. Perek Nun talks about korbanos. Perek Nun Aleph, where this pasuk is found, and I'm citing right now, is the one of the prokem that deals with tshuva. And there it says, in that context, Lev nishbar v'nike Elokim lo sibze. Namely, ki lo sachpot zevach ve'eteina, Hashem is not interested in korbanos. Oilu lo sirtze, that's not what he's looking for. Zivche Elokim, what are the real korbanos of Hashem is barach? Ruach nishbara. Lev nishbar v'nike Elokim lo sibze. Namely, the real korban that a person should offer is a broken heart, a sense of humility, a sense of anava, a sense of tznius, a sense of modesty. Those are the emesik and karbanos that Hashem Yisbarach, that's what he wants us to bring. And therefore, that's why I believe there's a connection between this parsha and the anava of Moshe Rabbeinu, and all that is signified by that small aleph that the Torah has at the beginning of Vayikra with reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, namely a person who is tzanua, a person who is modest, a person who doesn't act with arrogance, that's greater than all the karbanos that one could possibly offer to Hashem Yisbarach. And the key to connection with Hashem Yisbarach is that sense of anava. My entire function in this world is to be mekadesh Shem Shamayim, to sanctify Hashem's name. And there's a very well-known story that was told by many of my rabbeim. On any number of occasions I heard the story, which is relevant to this issue. During the days of the Tsar Nicholas the First of Russia, it was a despotic decree that was issued against the Jewish population, and the government decreed that all Jewish youths from the age of 12 should be conscripted into the Tsar's army for a period of 25 years. And during that time, of course, they made every effort to convert Jews, even young Jews, to Christianity, the religion of love. And they kidnapped children as young as 7 years old. They sent them off to areas which were wastelands. They had no contact with Yiddishkeit. They subjected them to cruel, back-breaking kind of labor. And of course, many of these children died from the cold, from lack of nourishment, from the beatings. Many of them were forcibly baptized. And for many, if not most, the alternative was death. Many caved in and accepted the way out provided by the quote-unquote loving Christians. Some survived these unspeakable tortures. Very few really survived to adulthood. Many of them were physically crippled, were emotionally broken, were emaciated, and they were called cantonists. And they became the symbol of the Tsarist treachery, and yet, at the same time, our ability to triumph over adversity. So at one point, there's a group of great Gedolei Israel who came to St. Petersburg to intercede with the Tsar on behalf of Russian Jewry. And the cruel Tsar found it necessary to extract more blood from his Jewish citizenry, and they were forced to remain in St. Petersburg for the Yom Narayim, for Rosh Hashanah, for Yom Kippur, and the shul that was nearest to their place of lodging was one that was founded and attended by these cantonist survivors. It was Yom Kippur, they decided to daven in the shul, and they came to Ne'ilah at the end of Yom Kippur, and the Rabbanim suggested that one of their own become the Shliach Tzibur. They disagreed. They felt that the Chazan has to be someone of caliber, someone of great spiritual caliber, whose knowledge of Torah matches his piety. So they had such an individual, they claim, who's with us, who's unique, despite the fact that he was tortured at the hands of the Russians, he's still a Jew who's dedicated to Hashem Yisbarach. He never succumbed to their cruelty. He always maintained his fidelity to Hashem Yisbarach. Russell, we want him to be the Sheikh Tzibur, the Ela. And the Rabbanim agreed and wanted to see who that spiritual giant was. They turned to the rear of the shul. They noticed a broken man, someone who was an invalid, crippled, emaciated, scarred all over his body, and he hobbled on crutches up to the bima. He looked like a very old man, but in reality, he was a very young man. And he said the following: when a person davens to Hashem Yisbarach, he told Hashem, usually we daven for bani chayim mazoni, we daven for children, we daven for life, we daven for sustenance. Ribbono shel Olam, we don't have to daven for any of these. We don't need any food. We were in the Tsarist army. We're too old. We're too sick to marry. We don't have children. And as far as our life is concerned, we'd probably be better off dead. Therefore, he turned to the Aron Kodesh. That's all we daven for. Yiskadel v'yiskadesh, Shemei Rabo. May the name of Hashem be glorified, be sanctified, and the Klal Yisrael prosper. Wow. What about what a Sheikh Tzibur? How he came to Ribbono Shel Olam and how he appeared, the unbelievable anava that he displayed, despite all the scars, despite all the experiences, the horrendous experiences that he went through. And so this midah of anava is a critical midah that one actually learns in the parsha. Let's just sum up what we said. Vayikra, the small aleph, the Balaturim, Moshe did not want the Torah to write Vayikra el Moshe, but Vayikra is similar to Bilam, Lashon Mikre, Ki'ilu Hashem only appeared to him, Derech Harai, Derech Mikre, he's not Roy Lekach, he's not a Bal Madrega, but it was Baruch Hu instructing him, write that aleph. Moshe decided to write it, a small aleph. Some, however, explain that the word Vayikar doesn't come to diminish the cover of Moshe Rabbeinu. On the contrary, we want to be marbe b'chvodo, because we find elsewhere that the term Vayikar is lashon of kavod. In the Megillah, the well-known pasuk, La Yehudim Ma'isa'ira b'simcha b'sasa b'kar. The Zohar actually quotes that Vayikra, if you change, if you invert and change the Sega of the Osios, you have the language of Okir, Aleph Vav Kuf Yud Resh, which is based on the Pasuk Yeshayo, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, Okir Enosh Mipoz, that's the Lashon of Kavod. So therefore, why does it not say Vayikra, which is Lashon of Kavod? So the answer is that the Torah wrote Vayikra Ba'alav Zira in a small Aleph, to be miraculous to us, and this is said by the Sefer Ma'or B'Shemesh, to the Kach Zocha Moshe Leikar B'Gdula. Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu was Zocha to all that kavod and to all that aristocracy, Machma Sheyozori Ma'or B'Eni Atzma, because he made himself so small, he was so modest. V'lo Nechshe B'Eni Atzma L'Klum. He didn't put himself on a pedestal, he didn't go ahead and wasn't on a high, didn't place himself on a high plane. So this idea, namely someone who's an Anav, will be Zeichet to Yigdula, is also shot in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Ezel Mechubad, who's considered a coveting person? Someone who's honorable, HaMechabed Sabrias. Someone who honors others, Shenema, Ki Mechabdei Achabed, Uboza Yikolu. So who's the greater? Greatest, Mechabed Abrios, more than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe sees himself as being nothing. And Chazal compared Moshe Rabbeinu to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu said, V'anochi ofer ve'efer, I'm dust. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? V'nachnu mo. He says about himself and Aaron, everyone is more chashid than we are. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest, Mechabed Abrios. And they let Moshe Rabbeinu is okay to the greatest amount of cover. So this midah is a very significant midah. And of course, this midah, one should try to nurture not only lemaisa, not only in a practical way, but also b'machshava. I heard many, many times from Hagoyim of Chaim Shul Levitz, the Chassid Lebracha, Rosh Shiva of the Mir, many, many years ago, he used to quote the Sefer Charedim. Sefer Charedim was written by Balaza Askeri. So there, he speaks about the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avei. He says that the person mechabit his parents, al pi kol dikduki halacha, but however, internally, he doesn't have a sense of cover for them. Externally, he practices Kibbutz Avei. He does what the Gemara says in Kedushin. Mechavdo b'chayav, how? Machilo, mashkeyo, he wines them, he dines them. So in terms of the practical elements of Kibbutz Avei, that he does. But internally, he doesn't really have the proper de'acheres and covered for his parents. Says the Sefer Charedim, he's not mekayem in the midst of Kibbutz Avei, kilchosa. And he might even enter what the Pasuk says in Dvarim, Orur makle obi v'imo. When the Torah tells us to be mechavid our parents, it's not just bidvarim, it's not just b'maiseh, it's b'lev. And the Sefer Charedim writes the following lashon, which I know from the Chayyadim. The Chayyadim quotes this, Sefer Charedim, the Klal Sam of Zion, Sid Gimel, namely, sheyedama b'libo sheim gedolim v'nichbode eretz. How should you see your parents as giants? Shezeu iko kibudam. That's the main cover, is the inner sense of lev that you have towards them. So even though we know that many of our parents are not necessarily doli olam, so Rav Chaim Shul Levitz said, every single Jew has unique qualities, has a segula miuchedes. Every Jew is completely distinctive. Yeshem shepatzufei minam shavim, kach deosei minam shavos. We have different hashkafas, we have different perspectives. All of us have unique, beautiful kishrovos that no one else possesses. So when we speak about Kibbutz Avei, that every parent should be to their children Dolei Ador, they have unique elements, unique character traits, unique, distinctive midos. And that's the way it should be done. But all this is not just towards parents, but towards every single human being. And that can only come from the midah v'anava. The person properly nurtures this midah of being modest, then there's no question that I'll be able to recognize the beautiful qualities of each individual. And that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's something which, of course, is a very significant midah, and maybe the most significant midah that all of us should try to nurture. Just to sum up, this week's parsha identifies the midah that Moshe Rabbeinu was known for, the midah of Anava, Va'ish Maisha Anava, Mikol Adam Hashav Pnei Adama, and that midah of Anava certainly is really deeply embedded in every single human being. When the Raisa writes in Avos, the Perek Vav, Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Al Misha Esi Gatamu Teira, the person could be Rahman al-Tzad, on the Shibud, but a person Beruchal, Bin Ishmaso, Bin Mahuso, in his very essence, he's a Ben Chorin, he's Esik in Talmud Torah. The Rabbi Alevi writes in one of his Piyutim, and the Ibn Ezra writes something of a similar nature in the Pasha of the Zeros, Abdi Azman, Abdi Avodin Hei, Eber Hashem, Chofshi Lagamri. People who are Avodin, they're Meshubah to all kinds of different Shibudin, whether it's money, other kinds of idols, whether it's covered, whatever it may be. Who's the real Eved Hashem who's Chavshi? Dafka, a Ben Torah, who has this Midah Vanova, and he's not Meshubah, the Ritzon Acherim, he's only Meshubah to Hashem is Barach, and that's the Rabbi we quoted earlier, in Perek Beis Hilchos Gershon, Halacha Chof, when Bezin is compelled to coerce a person to doing a mitzvah, and he refuses to do so. So now he says, Rotzani, that's really his inner essence, his Rotzan Apnimi. And that's why the Braisa writes, Elecha ben Chorin, El Mishaisi Gitamu Torah. Because that's my real Rotzan. Deep down, every single Jew wants to connect to Hashem, wants to engage in the study of Torah, but we are Avodah to Ayetzahara. That gets in the way. And Eved Hashem, he's the only one who's really Chavshi. Halavai, in the context of this Mashber, this terrible crisis that is taking place, we should do a lot of introspection, turn the electron microscope Let it penetrate deeply into all of our innards. Let us try to see what tikkunim we could do, where we could, in effect, improve ourselves, each one of us individually, but on the chaver, on the makom, and if we do so, unquestionably, someone who's mekabel upon himself with anava, all these qualities, halavai, the Rebbe Hashem will listen to our tefillos, leid nishbar v'nitke elokim lo sivze, we come to Hashem Yisbarach with a broken heart, wanting Hashem Yisbarach to hopefully be merape, the cholim, the korov, and remove this magefa. Halavai be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we should be zocha only the korov mamish to suros tovos, yeshuas v'nechomos, amen v'yom.
Shkarach, thank you, Rashiya.
Thank you very much, Rashiya.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.